It is a particular joy to be with you tonight under the Word on this occasion. I've been blessed to be at Christ Covenant now on two very significant occasions in the last few weeks, and there's no place on earth that I'd rather be tonight. Kevin, thank you for the privilege of opening the Word of God to us. To the assembled congregation, I want to remind you that what you are about to see tonight, the Apostle Paul says, proves that Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the Father, and from the right hand of the Father is ruling the world by His Word and Spirit. And if you'll open your Bibles to Ephesians 4, you'll see why I am saying that. If you'll allow your eyes to peek at verse 8, the Apostle Paul applies this passage from the Psalms to Jesus Christ and says that when Christ ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And in the first verse that we are going to read tonight, verse 11 in this chapter, you will see that what Jesus gave when he ascended on high was preachers. That is the gift that he gave to his people. And so in an installation service in a Presbyterian church, you are seeing a visible demonstration that Jesus is ruling the world from the right hand of God the Father Almighty by his Word and Spirit for your soul's everlasting good. It's a glorious, glorious thing. And I want us to think about something very basic tonight. What is this ministry for? Why would God give you Kevin as he gave you Mike Ross? What did he give you these pastors for? And I want to do that by looking at Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13. And you'll notice in each of the verses this progression. First of all, the gift that Jesus gave is mentioned in verse 11. The work that that gift is given to perform is mentioned in verse 12. And then the goal of that gift and the work that that gift is to perform is listed in verse 13. So with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we read God's Word and ask His help and blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We ask that You would open our eyes to behold wonderful things from Your Word. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that we may be equipped for every good work. So speak, Lord, Your servants listen. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the Word of God. Hear it, beginning in Ephesians 4, verse 11. And He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Or maybe even shepherd teachers. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Amen. And thus ends this reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May He write its eternal truth upon all our hearts. It was said that the great coach, Vince Lombardi, would bring his team around when the new year's practice began, and he would say to them to start with, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And the idea was that if you're going to play the game well, you have to go back to the basics again and refresh yourself in all of the basics of the game in order to perform as you ought. Well, there's a sense in which the message tonight is, this is a football. I'm probably not going to tell you something new, but I want to briefly, clearly, and simply lay out for you what the ministry is for. First of all, so that you will know how to receive what Jesus is giving you in Kevin, so that you will understand what he's supposed to do and how that is to equip and edify you and what that is to lead to in the congregation. Now, if you didn't pay close attention to the sermon this morning, go back and listen to it again, because there's a sense in which I'm only going to amen the things that Kevin said this morning. But tonight I want us to see three things: the gift that Jesus gave, the work that he gave that gift for, and the goal of that gift and the work of that gift. So let's look first at the gift that Jesus gave. Notice that what Jesus gave was people. Jesus gave godly, gifted men, and we're going to focus especially on the last category. We won't look at the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists. I want to zero in on that fourth category, pastors and teachers, or pastor teachers, or shepherd teachers. He gave people to be devoted to the well-being of the flock. He gave people to teach and shepherd the whole flock. And if Jesus gives you something, you must need it, because he doesn't give you gifts that you don't need. And so he has especially seen fit to give shepherd teachers to his people, because his people need to be shepherded and taught. What we are doing tonight, what you do every Lord's Day when you gather, is not extraneous or marginal to the Christian life. It is at the very center. You need this. You need to be here. I think I can count on one hand the number of Lord's Days that I have not been able to be with the people of God over the course of my ministry. Sometimes it's because I'm flying across time zones to go to another place. And I don't want to tell you that those Lord's Days are the most miserable days of my life, because I know how much I need to be with the people of God. As a chancellor, I don't get to preach every Sunday now. I love to preach the gospel, but I also now love to get to sit under the ministry of faithful gospel preachers, because I need to be taught and shepherded, and the Lord Jesus has given me a gift in the pastor of the church under whose ministry that I sit. When I'm not preaching, I'm under his ministry, because I need to be taught and shepherded by the gift of God. That's what the Lord has engifted you with Kevin for. You need to be shepherded and taught. What is that supposed to do? That's the second thing I want you to see. Look at verse 12. What is the work of that gift supposed to be in your life? Here it is: for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, if you have read commentaries on Ephesians, or if you've paid close attention to that passage, you may be aware that there is a debate about what this passage means. Does it mean, verse 11, these pastor teachers have been given to do three discrete things: equip, do the work of ministry, and build up the flock? So are pastor teachers given three discrete jobs: to equip the flock, to do the work of ministry, and to build up the flock? Are pastor teachers given that job, or are pastor teachers given the job to equip the flock to do the work of service for the building up of the body of Christ? Which way is it? I think it's that second way. I think this is what is being said. Pastor teachers are given to equip the saints for your work of service. And that in turn results in the building up of the body of Christ. In other words, pastor teachers are given, Kevin is given to you, so that you are equipped to serve, and this results in the strengthening of the body. This is hugely important. You know, we live in college football country in this area of the world, and it's ACC and SEC. Sorry, Kevin. And we get excited about our coaches. You know, we love our great coaches, but the coaches don't run the plays. They equip their players as best as they can to perform to the best of their ability. Teachers, piano teachers, violin teachers, cello teachers, they don't play for their students. They equip their students to do the best they can in their particular role and calling and vocation and talent. So also, the pastor is here to equip you to do your work of ministry. Now, your work of ministry is not the pastor's work of ministry. The pastor has a unique role in equipping you to serve in the various ministries that the Lord gives you in the church. So the pastor is here to equip his fellow elders. The pastor is here to equip the deacons. The pastor is here to equip women who are involved in diaconal ministry. The pastor is here to equip members of the congregation in their callings in life. The pastor is here to equip you to serve one another, because in your serving one another, the whole flock is built up. The pastor is not called to do your job for you. The pastor is here to equip you to do your job. Your role, your service is vital in this congregation. Kevin DeYoung is a well-known pastor. And there are a lot of people that are going to come to Christ Covenant Church just because he is in the pulpit. But God did not call Kevin DeYoung to single-handedly build up this flock. He called him to equip you to serve one another, and that will result in the building up of this whole body. So Kevin will be equipping some of you to die well. And it may be that your testimony in death bears saving witness to Jesus Christ in the gospel in somebody else's life. He will be equipping you to deny yourself in relationships. It may be that you are married to someone who is very, very hard to love. And he will be here to equip you to love them well. It may be that you are called to serve a parent or a child who is thankless in their response to your care. And Kevin will be here to equip you to do that. It may well be that you are called to lose your job for Jesus, or to perform your job in a very difficult environment for Jesus, or to bear witness to Jesus in some spectacular way, or to bear witness to him in some mundane way that very few people notice. Kevin will be here to equip you to do these things. Your doing these things will be vital to the building up of the flock. And so, Kevin's job is to equip you to serve for the strengthening, the building up of the body of Christ. Now, what's the goal of this? Well, you'll see the goal in verse 13. There are three things that I want you to see. The goal of the gifts is unity, knowledge, and maturity. Unity, knowledge, and maturity. That is, his equipping of you for the work of service, for the building up of the body, is in particular designed to produce three results. First of all, the unity of the body. What is the great enemy of unity of the body? Pride and self-interest. Pride and self-interest will destroy the unity of the body. He's here to equip you so that you learn to serve. Who is the greatest servant who ever lived? Jesus Christ. And what did he say his motto was? I have not come to be served, but to serve. Pride and self-interest says what? I want to be served. And it even complains, I'm not being served like I expect to be served. I remember a pastor friend of mine saying once, you know, in our circles, we know that we're supposed to be servants. And so it's spiritual for us to say, oh yes, I want to have a servant heart. Or we talk about, I want to have servant leadership. We know we're supposed to say that. We know we're to aspire to that. But he said, you know what? Everybody wants to be a servant until they're treated like one. And my friends, I want you to notice this. Jesus was treated like one. And if we follow him as our master, how should we expect to be treated? Like servants sometimes. And people that are prideful and self-interested are not ready to do that. And so one of the things that Kevin is going to be doing in the ministry of the word is equipping you to serve one another in such a way that pride is killed and self-interest is backburnered and love for others is put on the front burner. That's one way that unity flourishes in a congregation. You look at Philippians 2, the disunity that exists in the Philippian church, Paul directly draws a line to pride, to self-interest, as the root cause of the disunity amongst the Philippians. And so the ministry of the word through God's gift to the church is designed to create in you a heart and life of service. And what flourishes when that's flourishing? Unity. And unity is very, very important. It will become increasingly important as we live in a world that is increasingly opposed to us. Christ's covenant has a reputation in Charlotte. And among some people, that's not a good reputation. You have a reputation for believing the Bible. And in some people's eyes, that's not a good thing. And you have a reputation for holding to orthodox theology. In some people's eyes, that's not a good thing. And it may be that in the years to come, as Kevin said this morning, that may cost us more. And so our unity becomes all the more important in that kind of a context. Secondly, it's to lead to knowledge. Notice the specific kind of knowledge, the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, again, if you remember what Paul says, that he counts all things as rubbish because he knows Christ. For Paul, nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ. The supreme blessing is knowing Christ. Not just knowing about Christ, but knowing him. Have you ever heard somebody talking about someone who you know? I mean, you really know. You have a relationship with them. You've known them for years. And that person doesn't know them like you know them. And they're sort of saying things about them. And in your head, you're thinking, that's not right. Well, Paul doesn't just want you to know about Jesus Christ. He wants you to know Jesus Christ. Because he says it's the greatest thing in this world. And the ministry of the pastor-teacher in the life of the congregation is designed to bring about personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do you remember how the introduction to J.I. Packer's Knowing God begins? He tells the story of a fellow academic who had lost his opportunity for advancement in the academy because of his Christian testimony. And he says, I was walking with my friend in the woods, and I said to him, I'm so sorry for what you've gone through and for what you've lost. And his friend said to him, it doesn't matter. Because they have not known God, and I know God. there's nothing greater than knowing God. There's nothing greater than knowing Jesus Christ. And the ministry of this pulpit is designed so that you can say, I know Jesus Christ. Third, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The goal of the gift is that maturity would flourish here. What does that maturity look like? People who are mature in, let me see, what was it that we talked about this morning? Faith, hope, and love. Right? Maturity in faith, hope, and love. Faith brings to the Christian's view Jesus Christ as having in him a fullness of all imaginable blessings treasured up for the use of the church. And moreover, faith brings Christ to us daily for supplies of those blessings which the various necessities of the Christian life require. So you want to be mature in faith. You want to treasure Christ more than anybody else, and you want to turn him to the things that are necessary for living the Christian life daily. Love is the fruit by which the truth and reality of faith is discerned. So when love, Christian love, is flourishing in the life of men and women, we see the fruit of faith. And love always is seeking for what it may do, either for God or for others. And that's why Paul speaks in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, of the labor of love. Love wants to labor. And then finally, hope. Hope is the offspring of faith and love, or at least of that faith which works by love. And it is a patient grace. It is a patient grace that enables us to do these four things. It leads us to expect all that God has promised, however long we have to wait for it. To fulfill all that God has required to the utmost extent. To suffer all that God has appointed us to suffer. But to do so in the hope of God's final recompense. And finally, to continue in a constant course of well-doing even to the end. That's the kind of maturity that the ministry of the Word is designed to produce in the congregation. That's what the ministry is for. God has given you a gift in Kevin. That gift is to edify and equip you to serve one another so that the whole body is built up. And the body will be built up in unity, in knowledge of Jesus Christ, and in maturity. That is what the ministry is for. And that means that it's not you sitting out there as spectators watching Kevin do the ministry of the church, or the other ministers do the ministry of the church, or even the elders do the ministry of the church. It is them equipping you so that you go to the front lines of life prepared for the battle. You know, it's one of the sad, sad things that many ministers treat their congregations like their congregations are being invited to a holiday picnic, when in fact we're being dropped on the beaches of Normandy and there is war ahead. Jesus has given you this ministry because we're not at a picnic, we're in a war. And you need to be equipped for that war so that you persevere to the end. May the Lord bless this ministry with faithfulness and fruitfulness for your everlasting good and for God's glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, make this congregation to bear witness to your greatness by their faith, hope, and love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.